Southeastern Zone 90.9 KSLU. I am Will.
And I'm MG, and this is Experience Points. We're glad to be back on the air. It was a whole week, and it feels like forever.
It really does.
I mean, relative forever. It's not actual forever.
Actually forever.
In the history of history, it's probably the shortest forever out there.
Yeah.
We're going to roll into a pretty cool segment. We're trying to segmentize the show now. Segmentize a word?
Segmentize.
Yeah, it's like we're segmenting. We're trying to
partitioning.
Segment.
Partitioning.
We're trying to partition. We're partitioning the show up into four or five main sections. The first section is going to be like whatever we kind of want to talk about, and then we're going to go through, you know, new stuff and things that are happening and big games of the week from last week. We'll have to find a better name for it, but drop of the week maybe. I don't know. We'll have to
drop of the week.
We'll have to figure it out, but. Right now, we're going to talk about games that have those WTH, those WTF moments where we're like, what is happening? You know, whenever it goes on, whether it's story, you know, like glitches happen. So like glitches aren't really we don't count those as WTH moments, but the times in the game where you have to stand there and go, what is that happening? What's going on? And it's not like the lost moment where you're like, I don't follow. It's that moment where you go, wow, the entire time, or this is that, you know, you were so drawn into the game, and then they do something to just completely rip you away.
Yeah, everything I've known is a lie.
Your brain,
basically.
The gears, metaphorical gears, stop working in your brain.
Yeah.
You have a pretty good one, Will, so you can go ahead and start.
Yeah, I always talk about Knights of the Old Republic, and so whenever he mentioned this, I was kind of like, oh, well.
But seems to be I have some expertise on the subject.
But also, I guess we probably should give a spoiler alert because of the fact
we're going to spoil a few of these games.
We're going to spoil some pretty big parts of these games.
Now, a lot of these games are old though, like they've been around since like 2003 2000, I guess,
just however many years.
Pretty
so
old games.
Hopefully you've played them. If you haven't, I mean, it's, I guess, plug your ears because we're gonna
see
it anyways.
Go and buy them.
But yeah, like one of the biggest like what the heck is going on moments is like you're playing Knights of the Old Republic and then Darth Malak is like, oh hey, by the way, the guy that used to be my leader, Darth Revan, that's you.
And you just like, you wake up and you're like,
and you're like, wait, what?
No.
I'm Darth Revan. Like, I'm not Darth Revan. I just talked to like all the Jedis on the other planet. And he's like, yeah, basically, they weren't going to tell you anything, but you're Darth Revan. And then you basically hit your head, and now they're trying to turn you good. And you're like, oh, well.
Aren't those, there's like good guy Jedis then.
There's the good guy Jedis that you talk to.
You're like, well, you used to be our formidable enemy, but
now we're best friends.
Seems to be you got a little bit of amnesia going on.
Yeah, let's go get some lunch.
Let's go get, you want some shawarma? Let's go get some shawarma.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good moment because that game was like so in depth, and I mean it's not like you play this game for 4 hours and you're done.
Literally
like,
play it for
it's like a 40-hour game if you really get into it. It's like finding out at the end of like Final Fantasy VII, like Cloud was really a bad guy or Aerith was really, Sephiroth was a really good guy. Like that, you know, you find, and that doesn't really happen, so play Final Fantasy VII if you want. But I was actually thinking like there are two moments that really stuck out to me. One, it's a moment that is perfect. It's Bethesda, and I can't remember the other people that do it, but it's for Fallout 3. In a moment in Fallout 3, after you escape out of the whatever, the vault, and you're going through the wilderness or the whatever, the destroyed DC, you find this little settlement, and it looks like all the other settlements. They all look like the same color palette, the same houses. Yeah. You go in and you talk to people in this little town, and there's like kids and there's a few people, and they seem really, really cheery. Like they're really, you know, Pleasantville cheery. And it's a little unnerving in a world wrought with like destruction and apocalypse and everything that these people are that nice.
Yeah.
And so but you're like, okay. And they're like, yeah, you know, you can join us. Just, you know, you gotta be friendly and you gotta be nice and everything. Well, you start to dig because that's all Fallout 3 is. It's like you loot everything.
Yeah.
So you're going around and you like find the way into the basement after you find basement keys because it's locked. And you go into this basement and you find like these people are cannibals and they've been eating everyone in the town. Like everyone else in the town that's not them has been eaten by these people. And you find like notes and it's just this really like it's a creeping, like you play it in the dark and you like turn lights on. It's like creepy. What? And then you're like, man, I'm going to take these guys out, or I'm going to leave this. You know, I'm going to get out before they eat me, too. You get out of the basement, and they're all standing outside the door looking at you. As soon as you, like, I guess you trigger that in the game, they're all outside. And they're like, I told you not to go in that basement there. And they're like, everyone knows, like, that's all. They're all this big family of cannibals. And then, of course, you have to, like, whip out the gun and, like, you know, tap him down. But it was that moment where I'm like, as soon as I stepped out, because it was that creeping suspicion. I was like, something's not right. And then I find out, oh, yeah, the E people. Okay, that's probably not cool. And then I get out, and I'm like, I'm going to leave. Like, I had no intention of killing any other people in the town.
Yeah.
I was going to leave. And as soon as I get out, that was the moment when they're all staring at me. And I'm like, what? Like, totally.
Guess who's for dinner?
Yeah. And the other one was, I can't remember. Oh, okay, so, like, I this is an old one. This is a really old one. But I played Metroid, like, way back in the day. And it turns out Samus is a chick.
Yeah.
And at the end, was like at the big... end, like, that's like a historical one. That's like a throwback to the old
Everyone's
days.
Everyone's like, what the heck?
Yeah. But, I mean, and at that point, you're like, that was back before women were really in games. Like, I think the first really prominent...
Tomb Raider.
Yeah, I think Lara Croft is that's a little pitch to the next segment where we talk about the new Tomb Raider. But I mean, Lara Croft was the first really big heroine in video games. You always had Princess Peach, or you had I think even in what was it? You always had like some females in games, but they're always like getting kidnapped.
Yeah.
Or that, I guess that was another part in the game. Like,
they're always the damsel in distress.
Right, right. They're always a damsel in distress. I think that's another like WTH moment, because like you get to the end of every castle in Mario and it's like, by the way, like Toad's there and it's like, sorry, bro, she's not here. She's somewhere else.
You're like, are you kidding me?
And Toad's like always in the end of the castle. You're like, well, how are you here?
Stand at the doorway.
Can't you, like, if I give you a walkie talkie, could you just tell me she's not here and go to the next place? Toad was really the hero of that game.
I think another big kind of like a big moment in game. I just kind of thought about it just now. Like, I don't know. Do you remember, like, you played Skyrim, right? Like, the first time you played Skyrim and you're doing a thing with the companions, and I know where you get trapped in a prison cell, and this dude turns into a werewolf and starts killing everyone.
Right, right. It starts just, like, really messing them up.
You're like, whoa, what's like, because I had no idea. When I saw him, I was like, whoa, what's going on
here?
See,
I've played those games where if you don't do something the right way and you get stuck in a prison, it's like, all right, that's it. You're going to starve to death and die. You have to, hopefully you saved it before. That, like, it's a hardcore type of game.
Yeah.
It was one of the old, like, Might and Magic games. Yeah. Like, there is no out.
I know what you're talking about.
But then I was like, are they really? I mean, I guess it's cool that they're going to do that in Skyrim, but then the guy changes, and I'm like, yes.
It's so epic,
mess
too.
Mess them up so much.
They're like, we can finally tell someone we killed the companions. And he's like, you're not going to live to tell the tale. And you're like, what the flip? What? And then he's like, what? And just
kills all of them. He wargans out on everybody and takes them down.
You're like, okay. And I think... kind of a small WTF moment. Like, I think, like, everyone's kind of played, like, Modern Warfare 1 at some point in time.
Yeah.
I remember, like, the very first time, or maybe it was Modern Warfare 2.
That's the Call of Duty 4?
And, Call of Duty 4 was not the... I'm not going to mention the storyline thing where you die. I was actually going to mention the thing about online where, like, you're walking around and I know you get killed and you're like, where the heck? And you watch the kill cam and the guy's underneath the map and you're like... Okay, why is it underneath
like
the map?
In the early days,
days when, like, people finally, like, when they figure out that the first way to do that glitch or whatever, and, like, now I don't even think you can do it anymore.
It's funny you mentioned the story. I'll bring that up.
Okay.
So at the end of Call of Duty 4,
it's kind of the middle, actually. I mean,
well, no, it is. Yeah, it is. At the end of one of your characters, you play that game. You play like four or five protagonists.
Yeah, that's pretty cool too. I think that was cool the way they did that.
You don't get attached to people. Like, no matter what you do in any of the Modern Warfare games, don't like a character too much. They'll probably die in a puddle on fire. I mean,
or they'll die and be brought back in another game.
Right. So in Call of Duty 4. You're playing as a soldier and you're in like Kazakhstan or wherever you're at, some Middle Eastern place
somewhere,
and a bomb goes off and you're so close to the epicenter of the blast that your helicopter gets smacked down, and then you wake up and you're like, okay, whew, he's good, he didn't die in the crash. But then there's like this nuclear fallout and he dies. Like, you breathe radiator,
around,
you crawl around. It's like this really it's endearing and cryptic, and then you think, like, is that the game? Is that it? You almost like have like
failed?
One of them. You almost have like one of them Halo 2 moments where at the end of Halo, you know, you're like, I'm gonna get out and I'm gonna finish this fight. I still got my, you know, I'm still walking around, and then all of a sudden the game is gonna end, and it doesn't end. I mean, it goes to someone else.
Yeah.
It shifts storyline, but it was just one of those really crazy moments.
Yeah.
And I don't know. That
was a big thing for me too.
Yeah.
I remember, like, the whole mission, they're like, you have to hurry up, we don't have enough time, and then, like, someone, you have to go help somebody and somebody else gets hurt and you have to go help them and you, like, carry them to, like, your helicopter, and they're like we have no time, you have to hurry up and get out of here, the bomb is going to go off in like 2 seconds, and then, like, you get on the helicopter
right now
and you're like, oh, it's no big deal. Like, you're basically thinking the whole time, like, I'm a good guy, the good guys never die, and then, like, you're driving away and then explosion and you die and you're like, okay. But,
yeah, there were some moments, like, some moments are just kind of, they're lame, though. Like, not in that game, well, I guess in that game, but some moments in other games are lame. They're supposed to be, like, you know, WTF moments or whatever in other games, like Manhunt. The first time you take someone out in Manhunt. Everyone, mm-hmm. or Manhunt 2 specifically. Everyone was talking about like video game violence and it's banned and can't go to Australia anymore and yeah. things like that. You know, I look at Manhunt 2 and I'm like, oh, okay, it's got a pretty heavy rating on it, you know. Mm-hmm. And it says like for extreme blood and gore and hardcore murder and like it's got all these labels on it.
Everything.
So when you kill someone and it is like extremely bloody, hardcore, and extreme murder, I don't feel that you should be surprised by that because they told you on the label exactly what you were getting.
Yeah.
And I just don't think that I don't think that should be one of those moments. Or like a moment when, what was it? Like when characters die, like Aerith in Final Fantasy VII.
Yeah.
Like when that was kind of a big deal, but then people are still like talking about like, man, I was totally into the game. And I'm like, you know, you think about it. We were so attached to that character. We should almost anticipate that these characters are going to get killed.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
It's almost we should be better than that as gamers.
Mm-hmm.
We're gonna roll to a track real quick. This is actually a request from buddies Chris. He listens
Chris.
Via the internet stream. This is "Light Up the Night" by the Proto Men.
Sweet,
awesome band. If you can go and see them, they're touring. I think they do East and West, and they do a little bit of up like in a Chicago area
yeah.
touring. So chances are, within an hour and a half drive of wherever you're at some point during this year and next year. Also, you can look up on iTunes, and I think they have like this track for free download on theprotomen.com or something. So
Sweet.
Go ahead and check that out. I'm MG.
I am Will, and this is Experience Points on Southeastern Zone 90.9 KSLU.
Welcome back to Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU. I'm MG.
And I am Will, and this is Experience Points.
All right, so we just before we get rid of that extra segment that we just had about you know, WTF moments in games, one more WTF moment. I really love this. Okay, so Assassin's Creed 3
yeah.
is fairly new. I mean, it came out a few months ago.
Yeah.
It is the follow-up to Assassin's Creed, was it Revelations? Or
yeah,
Brotherhood,
yeah,
I can't remember.
Yeah.
Okay, so in Revelations, or at the end, no, I'm sorry, at the end of Brotherhood, because Brotherhood's before Revelations.
Yeah.
At the end of Brotherhood, Desmond, this cool dude, first off, there's a WTF moment at the beginning of Assassin's Creed, the entire series.
Yeah.
Because
You're in like the
Middle East.
Yeah, you're in like the Middle East in like the 1100s, or I don't even know how, like really
it's like
long
way
ago.
Way back, we're not historians. Listen,
yeah.
We have a radio show, we
yeah,
don't have a book.
It's in like the 200s or something ridiculous,
like
far
the Crusades,
away. Yeah.
Way back then.
That yeah, the Crusades
like
times,
1200s, so, maybe?
Yeah, something like that. And
anyway,
it's really long ago, and you're playing as this guy that's like in this clan thing,
Altair.
Even, like,
yeah,
yeah, you don't even know what's going on at first, and then out of nowhere, you do something, and then you wake up and you're in present day in a lab, and you're like, okay, what?
It's like the screen
just
starts
happened.
To get all weird, pixelated, and mosaic-y, and then
yeah.
all of a sudden you're like, what?
And then they wake
neon
up and they're like,
lights.
They're like, hey, you're a test subject. And you're like, okay. And then at the end of the Assassin's Creed, like the beginning and the end are both like big, what the heck's going on? Because at the end, you wake up and you're Desmond, and then you can use your eagle vision that you're able to use
as your old
yeah,
guy.
As
yeah,
Altair. And you can use it as Desmond, and you see like all these writings on the wall, and you're like, what?
The moment I was talking about initially was that at the end of Brotherhood, you stab, like you kill one of the people that have been with you for
yeah.
a long time.
Literally since the beginning of the game.
Right. She's the one that helps you escape from the first game
yeah.
and get out. And you're like, whoa, why did I do that? And you think it's a bad thing, but then you find out that there's a story plot behind it, and it was actually like a pretty good thing, even though she was like the love interest sort of.
Yeah.
She was like, that was the part she played, but it comes out that, you know, she was actually a bad dude or whatever. But all right, so moving on. That was the last bit we were going to talk about, the WTF moments in games. I'm sure we'll find more. You know, these are like games that we just could think of. You know,
I mean,
I'm
there's also like Portal. Like I mentioned Portal earlier, like slightly.
Yeah.
Because like the first time you played Portal, you're like, okay, this game's kind of like a puzzle. Like, what the heck? What's going to happen?
Right.
And then, like,
I don't expect
kinda,
too much story out of this, but
yeah. And then like you get kind of closer to the end, and you're kind of like, okay, I'm finding these like holes in the wall that say, "Help me!" Like, what is going
yeah.
on? And you see all these things that say like the cake is a lie, and you're like, what is this? And then you get to the end, and it's like, okay, here's your cake. And then she's like, and here's the fire. And you're
right,
like, whoa.
Right.
And then that mission literally takes, that last
it's
level
that creeping,
takes like an hour.
It's that creeping feeling
yeah.
of something's not going right.
Yeah.
The bolts are loosening. And
then Portal 2 even escalates more on that, because you figure out like the whole story behind everything.
Right.
And you're like, okay.
It's and they open that up real wide. Valve's kind of normal for doing that, though.
Yeah.
Like in Half-Life 2, at the end of Episode 2, we're all waiting on Episode 3 or Half-Life 3 right now. But at the end of Episode 2, it's very much the same thing, where they kill off a pretty you know, prominent character in the entire series, or in the Half-Life 2 series. And interesting story, just complete side note. In fact, we could talk a whole lot about this, but Valve's actually really, really cool. There was a there was something called Lost Within Levels, or Lost Between Levels, that a website recently did. It's like a documentary at Valve. They went, and it's like a 24-minute video of this guy going to Valve headquarters in Bellevue, Washington, and talking to a lot of Valve personnel about, you know, how Valve's run and why is it so successful and why is it so much of, you know, why is it as big as it is. For people that don't know, Valve created Half-Life. They created Left 4 Dead. They created Team Fortress, and they created Steam. Steam is like the biggest. Yeah. It's got more games on it than GameStop has in its store. Mm. An unofficial comment there, but
it's
you know, you can Steam is huge. Everything at one point was going to support Steam, and now everyone's trying to remake Steam and brand it for their own. But Steam is never going to slow down. Steam is fantastic. So so they made
we've talked about the Ouya before. They're even making a Steam box, which is like a version of the Ouya for Steam.
Right. And that's been in the work for a long time. And the thing is, Valve does not have project managers. They don't have people telling the people that work at Valve what to do and how to do it. In fact, they're so free form in their mentality of development. People can jump on projects and jump off of projects at will whenever they want. So much so that their desks have wheels, and they can roll their desks everywhere in the little building to go and be with the people that are on their game or on their project. And
that is really cool.
The cool thing is that, all right, we may not have Half-Life 3 yet, but if we had Half-Life 3, it would have been on the Half-Life 2 engine. So now, you know, they could be developing a new engine. They could take the one that Team Fortress 2 came out with and modify that and put new higher res, you know, models in. Valve's always doing something.
That's really cool.
That could be, it's a whole mentality. I highly recommend, if you haven't seen the video, go and watch it. Just Google Lost Between Levels or Lost Within Levels, and it's a Lost Levels Valve, and you'll find it. Let's go to some new games real quick. It's the new games, we're going to go back a few weeks. This is the week of February 17th. A few big games came out. Crysis 3, one of my real favorite series, Metal Gear Rising Revengeance. And then something that was actually kind of really big from Ubisoft, it's the Tyranny of King Washington DLC for Assassin's Creed 3 was released, where essentially George Washington's a bad dude and you have to take him out.
Now, so he chose to be a king instead of a president? Is that what
It started to go monarchical whatever. And, you say it's cool, but, like, CNN gets a hold of these, and Fox gets a hold of these, and the political machine starts churning out just all this pointless talk about it.
Like, they're all like, oh, they're trying to turn in the government into...
I want to say it was, like, quoted, like, this French company deems one of the founding fathers of our company or of our country as a tyrant and of this and that, and it's like it disgraces. I'm like, come on, it's a game, people.
Yeah.
Anyway, so there was that. I believe afterwards, we're gearing up to a really big one. Brutal Legends was released for PC. Whatever. They did have, I believe, a Professor Layton game. The final Professor Layton game came out at some point. A few weeks ago, the 24th, you had you had Mass Effect 3 Reckoning, which was just DLC, and you had Halo 4, which is a map pack, the Majestic map pack for Halo 4, and then they released more DLC for Mass Effect this week. They released the Citadel map pack or DLC for Mass Effect 3. Now this is single player DLC versus the other DLC was multiplayer. Reckoning was multiplayer DLC. Biggest thing this week, though, Tomb Raider and SimCity,
Tomb Raider.
I haven't heard anything about SimCity, but I'll say this:
I've seen some commercials for it.
They
actually have some kind of famous actors in it. Like they have a guy from you've seen Pitch Perfect, right?
Yeah.
They have a guy from Pitch Perfect in it. And he's like, I'm the mayor of my old city.
Oh yeah, BeTheMayor.com. Yeah.
And then he's like not wearing pants, and you're like, why is he not wearing pants?
Because he's the mayor, man.
He can do what he wants. Yeah.
But Tomb Raider again, like I could go off on some Tomb Raider. Like Tomb Raider was my first PS1 game, Tomb Raider 2, and I own all of them still, even the bad ones, even Angel of Darkness, which we're not going to mention too much. But I was so Tomb Raider geek, I had like a Tomb Raider memory card for the PS1.
Really?
Like they were I was going to get a Game Boy just to play Tomb Raider on the Game Boy. I didn't, but anyway, Tomb Raider is this version of Tomb Raider. It was released yesterday. It is a complete redo, a remix or a refresh?
Reiterate?
No, it's like start from scratch. Sorry. It's a re-envisioning of the series.
Oh, it's
where,
starting from scratch.
Yeah, start from scratch. Wow. It has nothing tied other than the main character.
Rejuvenated everything.
Right, right. A lot of re's for this game. It is ridiculously amazing. Garnering, I think the lowest score I've seen is like an 8.3, and it is fantastic. It is for the PC, and which was what I'll probably play it for now. Yeah. The PC actually, they did a hair physics thing where instead of just being a clump of hair, it's individual strands or sections of strands of hair. It looks amazing. You would think like, oh yeah, I don't care so much. You care. It looks fantastic.
Beyond realistic, I'm guessing.
No, it looks just as realistic as you would expect. It is, or more realistic than you would expect, excuse me. Yeah, it's really, really good. I was impressed.
That's cool.
Mass Effect 3 Citadel. You know, I have stopped playing Mass Effect 3 for a while. I want to say like I'm two or three DLCs like behind.
Yeah.
So I probably need to play through that. I think I'm working on the Omega DLC right now. So I'll go ahead and pick up Citadel eventually. It's like $5 each. Another funny one. This is kind of like a throwback. We've got Devil May Cry, Virgil's Downfall DLC for DMC. I kind of thought it was neat. DLC for DMC.
That's funny.
But yeah, no. So Tomb Raider again. Like I will probably be picking this up and playing it really soon.
I've always thought it looked really cool.
From the videos I've seen, it is. It's less rigid platformy.
It's less Angelina Jolie, more Tomb Raider.
It's less original Tomb Raider. It's less original Tomb Raider and more Uncharted. Uncharted is this charismatic type game.
But
it's a game
played Uncharted.
That it has an equal balance of instant gratification and averaged gratification.
I hate games
like Bulletstorm. Bulletstorm was a good and a bad game. It was good because it knew exactly what it was trying to be and it didn't try to be anything bigger. But it was bad because that's not the kind of game that I wanted all the time.
Yeah.
I want a game that kind of like it piques my interest, but then it stretches that interest out. Bulletstorm was like, get a kill, bam, 1,050,000,000,000 points. It's almost like Borderlands. It's like a loot shooter. It does these crazy, wacky things, and you're like, it's got these terrible one-line dialogue things going on, one-liners. And that was an awesome part of the game. And it was cool if you can inject that into a game, but then keep it throughout and not just do me the same thing over and over and over again. Like, for instance, Tomb Raider in this one, you know, you've got the instant gratification of learning how to do something, learning how to fire a bow.
Mm-hmm.
But then you stretch that gratification by improving on how you fire the bow, getting better bows and upgrading your equipment and things like that.
That's cool.
Another big part of, what was it, of Tomb Raider was that they've... They were talking about doing some type of open world-esque type of thing with it. I'm not sure if they did it. I hope they did. I really like open worldness.
But see, I like the open worldness of games. I think that's the reason Grand Theft Auto, everyone that has ever played Grand Theft Auto is like, it's a cool game because you can just run around and...
Yeah, and never get into the story. Yeah. You could play for 3 hours and realize like, oh, there's missions.
Yeah, you literally could be like, oh, okay, there's stuff I can actually do in this game. I didn't realize that. I've been playing for 4 days now. Like,
that was something very rigid about the original Tomb Raider was that it was so linear. It was almost a hallway. And
it was that bad?
It wasn't so... Okay, so I give it a bad rap. You play games now. Like, Halo is a hallway. Halo, that's just it. It's a first-person shooter. Mm-hmm. It's designed to get you where you're going, mm-hmm. have a battle in a big room, and then hallway, 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 jump, fall, big room, another battle.
Yeah.
And it's designed to push the story along.
I think that's the reason I'm kind of looking forward to that game that you had showed me, the one coming out for the PlayStation 4.
Oh, yeah, Watch Dogs.
Yeah,
where it's open world. That's by Ubisoft.
Yeah, because
it's a French company.
Because it's... Because it's like open world, and it's like a different take on a campaign, because you could go this way or that way, and it's not just like you choose what you're going to say. It's like, oh, I'm running from a guy that's about to kill me. I can either jump on this train, or I can jump down and not go on the train at all, and a different thing will happen. Like,
yeah,
I find that to be very, very cool. It's not a hallway at all.
I'm hoping that, you know, I feel that there's a good place for games that do that, but there's also, you need to have games that are linear. Like, sometimes it's almost like it's an arcade
linear
game. Yeah, there's too linear, and then there's not enough linearity. I like games that have arcade modes. I like games that I can jump in and just pick up and go.
Yeah.
But I also like games, like there's one game coming out called Remember Me, coming out very, I don't think it's very soon, but it's called Remember Me, where the female, there's a female protagonist, Nilan, And it's kind of like Mirror's Edge in a way.
Yeah.
It's parkour, very cool, very acrobatic platformer, 3D platformer, where she doesn't remember who she is, and she's regaining pieces of her memory. And in order to figure out how to do something, you can play back memories you've acquired, and you learn kind of by that. And they have
it's like Mirror's Edge, like Assassin's Creed with that memory thing, and then like out of nowhere, like Jason Bourne thrown in there also.
And then it's like, so it's like Jason Bourne, Charted. Yeah,
it's all these really
great things. Again, look it up. It's Remember Me.
Hopefully, it's not a train wreck. That'd be horrible if it was.
I could see it having some really hokey moments. Yeah, like there was a boss in there where he like jumps down and he's called like Christmas or whatever. Like the guy's name is a big fat dude, like a big, you know, wrestler, like sumo wrestler called Christmas. Uh-huh. And he jumps down, but he makes like a big running man, like televised, like now for one time only, you know, and he jumps down and it's got these big explosions behind him with these lights that say Christmas. And he's like, let's go. And it makes a pixelated boxing ring around you that looks really awesome. But I worry that it's so ridiculously spontaneous and so just will not happen.
It'll ruin the completely mood of the game.
It's like avant-garde futurism. I don't know if that makes any sense. Like it's futurism is doing something incredibly in the future. You know, like a futurist looks at things how they will be, not how they are.
Yeah.
But how they will be based off of how they are. And then avant-garde is like really crazy, different for the sake of being different.
Yeah.
Kind of slanted. You wouldn't think like there's conventional thinking, and then there's the avant-garde think like pattern that doesn't, where they don't match up.
Yeah.
It looks awesome. It looks like there's a lot of stuff going on.
Mm-hmm.
I worry that there may be too much going on, and that's going to detract from the game overall. I still think I'll probably buy it because Watch Dogs, I think it will get annoying to do the same thing in Watch Dogs over and over and over again. I have faith in Ubisoft that they're going to figure that out and they're going to do something because In Assassin's Creed, I was really driven by the story. They kept introducing gear. They kept introducing talents. They kept doing mini games and missions. I kept finding pages of the bibliography or the whatever
codex pages,
right? So I was kept involved in that game.
Yeah, that was cool.
They have to do that with this Remember Me game. So I have faith. I have faith that they'll do it.
That'd be cool. So that Remember Me is made by Ubisoft. You said?
Oh, I believe.
Wow, that's gonna be probably a really amazing game.
I may be wrong.
I hope it's an amazing game.
You know, I'm thinking now. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's not made by.
I'm just hoping it's not like when you mentioned the Christmas thing. I was just kind of thinking like that cartoony, horrible, like what the heck kind of game is this? Kind of like, like I've never been a big fan of Borderlands. A lot of people are gonna like hate me for saying this, but like you know, Borderlands has that kind of like cartoony look to
like
it,
the like cell shaded, yeah,
yeah. And like I'm kind of thinking whenever you said Christmas, I instantly thought like, oh no, not one of these games, not one of those.
I thinking back now, I think it's made by. It's like I know it's not published by. It's published by a big name. It's published by like Capcom. They did Resident Evil and everything.
Yeah.
It is. I think it's created by like Dot Nod or Don't Nod Entertainment. It's this.
Yeah.
It's this other whatever. Anyway, so we're gonna go ahead and play a song.
Sweet.
This is. You want to do Epic Rap Battle?
Sure.
This is the Einstein and Stephen Hawking.
Completely unrelated.
It's completely unrelated. We're smart people. Do you want to be Einstein or do you want to be Hawking in this one?
I think honestly I'd go for Hawking. I think he's smarter.
Okay. All right. I'll be Einstein. I'll be the German. Is he from Germany?
Einstein?
Again, we're not historians. We just have a show.
No, he was Jewish. He was Jewish.
Okay, so Jewish is not... It's not a... They don't have Jew the country. Germany's a country.
I didn't think about. Is
he from Poland? Maybe
his people, his ethnicity, I thought was Jewish. Poland, yes.
Is he from Poland?
That's where he was from.
I don't know. We're not historians.
Because the reason he came over to America, I think, was around that time of the Holocaust, or whatever, and the horrible Holocaust thing. Yeah.
Experience points taking you there. This is the epic rap battle of history: the Stephen Hawking's and. And Einstein, Albert Einstein mix. I'm MG.
I'm Will, and this is Southeastern Zone 90.9 KSLU.
Welcome back to Southeastern Zone 90.9 FM KSLU. I'm MG.
And I'm Will, and this is Experience Points.
You know, Will, this past weekend I was sick. I was real sick.
Really?
Sick with a headache. I was sick in the head, I guess you could say. I had a terrible sore throat.
You're sick in the head every day.
I'm sick in the head every day. He knows me in real life.
Anyways.
We like lose listeners every time we do that because inevitably one of our listeners has that voice.
And they're probably
guys, what are you doing this week? Oh, you sick? You can't play Pokemon with me?
They're making fun of me.
No, we're not making fun of you, Pokemon man. No, so I was sick, and it's been a few long nights because of various things. And just remember to keep things powered up whenever you need them to be powered up. I'll say that. Inside joke.
Power's a good thing.
Power's a good thing. Unless too much power. With great power
comes a lot
of great
responsibility.
Thank you, Uncle
Change that
Ben.
Quote a little
Thank
bit.
Thank you, Charlie Sheen's dad from the new Spider-Man.
He really says that?
Oh, yeah,
yeah, he
that
does.
Was, I don't think...
Charlie Sheen's dad?
Yeah, that was Martin Sheen in the new one.
No.
Yeah, in the new Amazing Spider, yeah.
Well, he was the... What did he play?
Well, he played the elusive man. He played Uncle Ben.
Uncle Ben.
The same guy that played the elusive man in Mass Effect 3. The same guy that was the commander in Hot Shots.
I don't know
Part
any...
Du.
Oh, wait.
Yeah. Yeah, you know who you... Yeah, Martin Sheen.
Yeah, him. And also their friend, like their brother, the guy that... like was he the coach in Mighty Ducks?
That was Emilio Estevez. That's
they're all related, though.
That's
yeah, they're all related.
Son, yeah.
He just has a different name.
So this is a perfect segue with the new Amazing Spider-Man. So I was sick, and I wish I would have had time to watch movies, but I kept going. Like, I couldn't stop to watch movies. But we were going to talk about geek movies that I guess we would watch, you know, when we're
cool
sick.
Cool geek
or,
movies.
Even movies that maybe, like, they're a little old, and that's okay. Like, one of my personal favorites, and it's a long, hard movie to watch. Now, especially, but 2001, A Space Odyssey. It's Kubrick and Arthur C. Clarke's movie that they did together. It's based off the book, but Arthur C. Clarke, a lot of people don't know this, but Arthur C. Clarke helped Kubrick in creating and revising the screenplay for it.
Hmm.
And it's really, I imagine it's a very good, it's a good feeling to have the director and the writer
together.
All on the same page,
yeah,
that's, quote unquote page.
That's when the movies are always like best compared to a book. Like when you read a book and then you see the movie and you're like, wow, those are kind of equal almost. Like
right,
like if this is gonna be like a horrible example because it's not a geek movie at all. But I'm saying like for example, have you ever seen the movie Perks of Being a Wallflower? I know that sounds like a weird movie to bring up to say. Well, the book was written.
Indie.
The movie. Yeah, it kind of was. But the movie was written and made. The movie was written. The movie was made by the guy that wrote the book.
Right,
and it was like. Just on the like it was basic.
The
perfect.
Book was the script.
It was really really well made.
Nice.
But anyways, other geek movies. One we didn't even think about earlier when we were talking about The Matrix. I didn't even mention that. Like that's like a super hardcore like geeky type movie. If you think about it.
The first one. I feel like the second and the third one really ran away with it.
Just the first one. Yeah, let's say. And
they could have left that alone.
And what is another one?
I like Starship Troopers, personally. I know it is so hokey and corny, and it's like the opposite of the book, really.
Yeah.
But it's got, let's just say this, it's got some good-looking women, and it's got some awesome bug killing, and if you want to know more, you can come to my house, we'll watch some Starship Troopers.
Sweet.
Not the second, the third, the fourth one's not bad. I know that's like all that's all Casper Van Diem's ever really done.
Those are all like the went to VHS ones that after
the second and third one went to straight to VHS, and the fourth one is like straight to VHS. The fourth one's like CG.
Really?
Yeah, it's like Invasion, Starship Troopers Invasion, and the bug. It's closer to the book than any of the other ones were.
Yeah.
But
another stereotypical, I mean, we've talked about Star Trek before. That's kind of a stereotypical
nerd
thing.
The new ones or the old one?
I mean,
I guess the new one or the old ones.
Both, I guess. Like, yeah. I guess Star Trek in general is just kind of like a nerd thing, and then Star
Wars.
I was
much bigger fan of, I guess, the Next Generation movies than I
was
the original.
Those were amazing.
Not saying that I don't like the originals, because they're all the same storyline. Like, they're all timeline-based, because I think in Generations...
But even the new ones, they have, like, the same timeline, but they're on a different timeline.
Like, in a different dimension, sort of.
It's the same characters, but it's like something happens like in the movie that makes it where like, wait a second, this doesn't follow the storyline of the next generation.
Well, in the first one, they went back in time, or there was some time travel.
Yeah, that's the thing, is it's like, whoa, okay, there's okay. But it's cool, though, because they're mixing it up, and it's not just the same thing over and over again.
The Chris Pine, Captain Kirk, Into
the
Darkness version.
Awesome duo or whatever.
I really like Jurassic Park. I think Jurassic Park is like, it's that good action movie.
I remember that when those movies were
but
like...
But it is a super cool, it's like the 1993, I think, when it came out.
Yeah.
The first one. The first and the second one aren't bad. I think the third one probably is getting bad, but you know they're releasing another one in next year, 2014. They're releasing another Jurassic Park.
Really?
And
I remember for a while those were like where it was at, and then everyone's kind of like, okay, like Jurassic Park is cool and everything, but now they're kind of, it's an old subject now.
Yeah. It's coming out. I recently rewatched the first one in stunning 1080p, and you could definitely tell like them some CG dinosaurs, bro.
Yeah,
you know, you could tell that, but it's good. It's still really really good.
It's a cool story. Like, it's random, like completely innovative idea and everything. Like, it was like, okay, dinosaur.
It's unlike the book again. Completely unlike the book.
Yeah.
But
it's still good though.
Hackers, we were talking about Hackers or War Games.
War Games.
Hackers is a good one too. Hacker, but
that's
War
the one
Games
with Keanu Reeves, right?
I can't remember. I think so. Yeah,
it has some chick actor that's famous also. Wait, is Angelina Jolie in the movie? She is in that movie.
Oh yeah, yeah.
It's Keanu Reeves. Is it Keanu Reeves? I think it is.
I don't know.
While
we're on Keanu Reeves, Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
Oh my goodness,
that is like a mix between a geek and a stoner movie.
Yeah. And then speaking of geek and stoner movie, Grandma's Boy. It's a geek movie technically. Yeah. But I was gonna say a movie that's like not really a geek movie, but it was kind of like. It was one of those movies that's kind of like stuck out. Was I can't remember the name of it though. It's like Toy Soldiers or Little Soldiers.
Small Soldiers.
Small Soldiers. Small, like, Soldiers. It's not a geek movie, but at the same time, it's kind of like
it was
just,
made by DreamWorks.
It was just cool.
It had, who was the guy? He was in Space Cowboys and he was in Captain America. James Earl Jones.
That actor guy. I think,
he's like, he looks old. In every movie he's ever played, he looks old. He was the Colonel. In Small Soldiers. I know the movie you're talking about. It is really good. Harrison Ford. Blade Runner. Since we're talking about Harrison Ford, Blade Runner. I love Blade Runner. I recently watched that again and again, like in off the Blu-ray copy. And
yeah,
it is. It's fantastic. It's one of those movies that's like, all right. The set design was amazing. The futurist world of China, Indochina, and America combining, mm-hmm. becoming like the superpower for the entire world. The CG effects were amazing. It held up. I think 2001 held up.
Mm-hmm.
But then you look at a movie like Logan's Run, which I still like Logan's Run, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
Logan's Run didn't hold up so well. It looks like an old pilot of Battlestar Galactica, like the original Battlestar Galactica.
That's another thing, Battlestar Galactica.
Battlestar, the new one. I'll watch all 4.5 seasons of the new Battlestar Galactica at the drop of a hat. I've seen them,
really?
I think, 4 or 5 times. Yeah.
They're really that good?
I get into it.
I've never watched them, but I've heard a lot of good things about them.
There's one episode, it's like in season 3, it's like the 4th episode in season 3 where they do it, it's like a planet drop, where they warp the Battlestar in, and it's like falling to the planet that they're on. And then they're shooting off their Vipers, like they're all of the ships inside the big ship. It's it's launching all of its ships, and then right before, it's like less than a mile or whatever before hitting the Earth or hitting the planet that they're on.
Yeah.
It warps out,
and so you're like, "What?"
It's like it's this awesome, super cool. I would there's better.
All the tension is completely. All the tension of everything is completely...
It was like the highlight. That was like the highlight of the entire series.
Yeah.
But it was like working up to that point, having that point, and then knowing that point happened makes everything work.
Yeah, yeah. Another thing...
It's hard to watch it. It's like not really a movie, though, because it's like really, really long.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to say another thing is Star Wars, because that's kind of a big thing that's happening right now with whole, like, they're making another
Star
Wars.
The J.J. Abrams switch, yeah. The guy who just finished Fringe, who just did the Star Trek movie, who's doing the next Star Trek movie... It has control, has the destiny and the force all in his hand. And
Disney also? Disney has?
Disney owns Star Wars now, yeah.
Yeah, that's going to be... I hope it's a good movie.
I think it's a good switch because Disney's got a lot of capable people.
Yeah.
And J.J. Abrams is the man when it comes to a lot of things.
Dude, he is.
He's got a B.A.
Have you seen Super 8?
Yeah.
It was kind of like, I feel like Super 8 was like Steven Spielberg and J.J. Abrams basically saying, hey, look, we can make a movie with little kids as the main characters. It's going to seem stupid, but in the end, it's an amazing movie. It's like, look what we can do with movies. We're the best ever. It's like, honestly, like that's what I got from that
movie.
I've got
to say, the lens flare in Star Trek and the lens flare in Super 8, there was a lot of lens flare. And I know that's the thing people talk about the most. Like, what about the lens flare? I liked it in Star Trek because I was like, all right, in space, like I play Eve. Eve's got a ton of lens flare.
Because it's in space.
But it's in space, like, and there's variable glare, and there's various lens flare. It's really, really good. I don't feel it was a problem in Super 8. I do feel, though...
I thought it looked cool, honestly, because it was like a blue lens flare. I was like, whoa, that's cool looking.
Right. I feel that it was like they were going for an older movie.
Yeah.
It's like an older movie in higher quality, but then they put lens flare in, and it was like you didn't really see lens flare in the old movies. Like, the cameras weren't that good.
Yeah.
So, those are a few really good geek movies. This Scott Pilgrim's a new one that came out recently.
Dude, Scott Pilgrim.
We actually have a track we're going to play from the Scott Pilgrim game, but Scott Pilgrim is it's based off of a I can't remember the guy who made the Scott Pilgrim graphic novels.
I don't know either.
But he's
awesome though. Who cares?
Yeah, Edgar Wright is really good. He was the director that did the movie, and it's I feel that Scott Pilgrim's going to be like not misunderstood or misinterpreted. It's going to be a movie that people dislike because they didn't understand it, but misunderstanding isn't really the problem. I feel that it's so much like the graphic novels that if you didn't read the graphic novels, you'll look at it and just like, well, that's trendy. It's got a Beck soundtrack. Yeah, that's nice, I guess. You know, you're not going to look at it and go, man, that was a really good movie. It was exactly what the graphic novels were.
I saw it and I was like, dude, I like the guy that directed this. He did a good job on this.
Yeah.
Like everything about everything, just the fact that they made it look comic-y and they did everything like awesome. Yeah, I was completely happy with the movie.
It was a really good movie. The game was really cool too. It's a side-scrolling beat 'em up game, like the old Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle games or whatever. We're actually gonna play another winner from Onomatoguchi.
Sweet.
This is Experience Points. I'm MG.
I'm Will, and this is Southeastern Zone 90.9 KSLU. And we are back. I am Will.
I'm MG, and this is Southeastern Zone 90.9 KSLU. You better believe it.
Indeed, it is Experience Points as well.
We're going to finish out the hour talking about some of the, we've talked about geek movies that are already been out. We're going to talk about movies that we are waiting for, the big movies of April and I guess farther in the future.
And beyond.
We've got, we were talking about Jurassic Park. They're actually doing that in 3D. I'm not going to say this too loud. I'm not going to go see it. Honestly, the 3D thing for me,
yeah,
it's not a big deal.
Never been a big fan of 3D. I feel like 3D kind of actually like ruins action movies. I know that sounds weird.
You're focused on all the other stuff that's going on,
and also like
it's hard to focus on the entire scene when you're focusing on the axe that they're throwing at you.
Yeah,
through the screen.
Do you remember whenever like Transformers was like a big deal and everything? They're coming out with the Transformers like. I can't remember what movie it was, which one it was. Maybe it was like Dark of the Moon or something like that. But it was in 3D, and like it sucked because I didn't like it in 3D. Like I feel like it was ruined. Like I watched it not 3D and it was good, but whenever I watched it in 3D, like all the action scenes were blurry. You know, like I saw it first in 3D, and I was like, wait a second, what just happened? I didn't even get to see what happened because like Optimus Prime would do something, and it was all blurry. Like his action, like I thought it was ruined almost.
I feel that whenever you make something in 3D, and Resident Evil is like the worst one to do this, but whenever you make something in 3D, you have to put like things getting shot out at the audience, and they're like, whoa, they move and everything.
Have you ever?
I'm sorry, that's just stupid.
Have you ever seen you've probably seen the show Fairly Odd Parents, right?
Yeah.
Have you ever seen that episode where it's like they have like they're making fun of 3D like the whole episode, and it's like the episode starts off and they're watching TV and like they're watching 3D TV and it's like a volcano explodes and like lava's like coming out of the TV and like the guy's like has a ping pong paddle and he's like bouncing it at the TV and he's like in 3D, like it's like that's how movies kind
that's
of
how
have
I feel
to be,
it's
almost.
Like it should be a tech demo more than an actual movie.
Yeah, it should be something about like somebody's life and it's just like, oh, this looks cool because
that's 3D. At the top of April. About midway through April, we got Evil Dead. We got the remake of Evil Dead.
It looks pretty ridiculous.
Problem with that, it looks like the girl from The Grudge, sort of.
Yeah.
But the problem with it, they don't have Ash on the character list yet. So I don't know how they're going to remake this without like the main character. I'm not saying they have to get the original guy, but they need some character to play
him. Kind of need.
I mean, I would think it's necessary.
Sense, yeah.
A little further along, we got, and still in April, still, we got Oblivion. This is Tom Cruise's new one with Morgan Freeman.
Oblivion.
I don't know. I think the trailer, he's going to repair like a drone, and then all hell breaks loose or whatever.
It looks pretty interesting
because
it's like they're keeping kind of like on the edge of what the heck's going on.
I feel that it's going to be like a good movie for Tom Cruise because he's crazy. And I feel that who replaced Sam? Sam Rockwell replaced Tom Cruise in that like slightly spacey role. Sam Rockwell played in Moon, and it was a really, really good role for him.
So now he's officially been replaced.
Yeah, I think so. May is the month, and it's no understatement. May 3rd, start of May, prior Cinco de Mayo.
That's cool.
Iron Man 3.
On the 3rd. Yeah, that's cool.
We got the Mandarin in this one. We got a whole new version of the suits. This is the one after Avengers. So it goes Iron Man 1, Iron Man 2, Avengers, Iron Man 3.
It's crazy.
It is going to be amazing. We still have Don Cheadle coming back. Don Cheadle's coming back as Rhodey. We're seeing the Hulkbuster in this one. In the new trailer that just was released, we see the Hulkbuster. It's going to be fantastic. Cool. That's probably going to be the best movie this year.
I hope so.
Star Trek Into Darkness is going to give it a run for its money, though.
Sweet.
This is I was joking around during the Super Bowl because it was Super Bowl in the Darkness or Super Dome in the Darkness. Yeah. They showed the trailer, and then it was like it cut out.
That's pretty funny.
So, yeah, lots more Lynn Flair, maybe. We've got After Earth in June, June 7th, with Will Smith and his actual son,
really
Jaden Smith. Yeah, they're like, I don't know, they're like Superman, kind of. Like, they're in pods, like escape pods.
Yeah.
And that's it. They're on Earth afterwards, and they learn to hunt. The problem is, and this is going to, like, people are going to be like, well, I'm not seeing this one now. It's directed by M. Night Shyamalan.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. After Earth is going to be directed by M. Night Shyamalan. And after the Avatar debacle, the Lady in the Water debacle, pretty much the Village debacle, everything
what?
Except
dude,
The Sixth Sense.
The Village was, dude, The Village.
We're going to disagree on this.
The Village and Signs, dude.
Signs.
Dude.
Mel Gibson? No, okay, anyway.
Are you kidding me?
All I'm saying is that...
Oh my gosh, those are some of the best movies ever.
I'll agree to disagree, and I'll just say that M. Night Shyamalan is probably a good director when he made The Sixth Sense.
He's a big hit and miss, like in a lot of his
movies. He is a big miss, I give you that.
He's either a big hit or a big miss.
I would believe that he has ruined more concepts of movies than he has brought to light in a good way.
Yeah, I guess I can see what you're saying.
Only
thing I got to mention about this movie
The Happening? Did you watch The Happening?
I've heard so many bad things about his movies.
There was a guy who fell down and a lawnmower ran over him.
I'm just such a big
fan. He could have just rolled out of the way. The leaves attacked. It was like the biggest environmental. It was like Al Gore movie form.
Yeah, that was a dumb movie.
Hold on.
Something I find interesting that I was going to mention about After Earth is it's like every movie Will Smith seems like he's kind of been in, like not lately, but like most of the movies he's been in his career that are famous movies, for example, Independence Day, I Am Legend, I Robot,
Apocalypse,
and then After Earth, like they're all apocalyptic movies. Like, yeah. What is this? Like,
yeah.
I don't know. I just think it's kind of cool. But
week after After Earth, on the 14th, we got Man of Steel, new Superman. It's not a continuation; it's a reboot. So Superman Returns was bad. It was bad.
But this one looks pretty bad.
Looks pretty good. You got Zack Snyder doing it. Zack Snyder did something else. I can't remember what he did.
And Russell Crowe.
Russell Crowe is
and Kevin
is Jor-El.
And Paul Kent. I don't know who that is, but I figured I'd
Paul
say
Kent. He's old man Kent.
He's
Kevin Costner's
the
dad.
Amy Adams is Lois.
He may vote in this one. Like, wasn't he in Swing Vote? Wasn't that Kevin Costner?
Wait. Kevin. He was in Field of Dreams, right?
Yeah, I think so. He was the white guy in Field of Dreams.
He was what do you mean? He is a white guy.
I mean, no, that's what I'm saying. Like, there were only, like, I figured two characters
it's
in
like,
Field of Dreams.
Build it and they will come. And then everyone, you're like, okay.
Somehow, like, I never knew those were two separate movies. That was Children of the Corn that they said, if you build it, they will come, because it was in a field.
Wait, really?
That's for a long time, like, when I was a kid and I saw it.
Oh, I thought you were saying they said that in Children of the Corn.
No.
Oh, okay.
So a week after that, in June, so the 21st, we got World War Z.
They're all 7 days apart for some reason.
Yeah, they're all 7 days apart. We got World War Z, this Brad Pitt zombie adaptation of the book. So it's not going to be the Shamblin type of Walking Dead zombies. It's going to be like the Resident Evil, like they run after you. It is war on Earth.
It has Brad Pitt.
Brad Pitt. So
no way. Look, Monsters University is coming out.
Monsters University. That is like the, I guess, the prequel. So it's before Monsters Inc. It's going to be where they developed it. Like so Sully and
How they developed the system of monsters.
Well, it's like their friendship, like how they met. And, you know.
Okay, so
cool
it's
stuff.
Like. Monsters is Dumb and Dumber, and this is the Dumberer and Dumberer or whatever.
It was just what happened before.
Yeah.
The 28th, Kick-Ass 2. I'm happy. I'm a happy
cool.
man.
That was a cool movie.
That was a really cool. It's based off a graphic novel. It should be pretty cool. I'm looking forward to it. But not as much as I'm actually looking forward to Pacific Rim in July. July 12th, so second week in July. It is going to be a movie. It's going to be totally cool. Pacific Rim, big robots fighting monsters in the ocean. It is going to be super cool. Watch that trailer.
I've seen the trailer. I'm kind of like, it looks cool, but at the same time, it's kind of like, hey, Transformers.
It could look Rock'em Sock'em Robots-y, but
that's what I was thinking. Also, like Transformers.
I hope not.
Who made the movie? Is it Michael Bay?
I don't know. It's not Michael Bay.
It's Michael Bay.
Guillermo del Toro or whatever. Del Toro. Guillermo del Toro. He did Pan's Labyrinth.
Oh, okay.
He's very good with effects.
He's very classic. He's a good guy.
Yeah, he's a good. He's a GG. later on in July or June. No, we're still in July. Later on in July, we got the Wolverine. This is the next thing for Hugh Jackman playing the Wolverine. It is he's like in Japan. It's after First Class. It's before the other X-Men movie, I think. Or maybe it's after the first X-Men movie.
I don't really have much info.
The first X-Men is not. I didn't like it. It was like the first Hulk movie.
Yeah.
This is. And I understand Hugh Jackman wasn't really happy with how it did. So this is like the redo of that one.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting a little far out, so these dates may change. But August 9th, we got Matt Damon and Jodie Foster in the future. There's a Matt Damon. All we know really is that Matt Damon is on a ruined Earth with Jodie Foster, and he gets in a robot suit. We got in September.
Why are there so many movies about the Earth being ruined? Is it because of like the whole December 21st thing or something? I wonder. Like,
I mean, they're a little late.
I mean, I know, but I wonder if it's like, hey, this is going to happen, so let's make movies about it just in case it doesn't happen. And then
I guess they hit another writer's strike. That's why they're getting released now.
Yeah.
In September and October, we got some Star Wars Revenge and Attack of the Clones in 3D. Again, whatever. Big thing you want to look for, though, October 4th. Is going to be Sin City, A Dame to Kill For. This is based off of Frank Miller's Sin City graphic novel, and it's the follow-up to the 2005 movie, which is going to be really, really cool.
It will be really cool.
We got Ender's Game and the new Thor movie and the next Hunger Games coming out in November, and then in December.
Good November.
We got another Hobbit movie, and we've got Jack Ryan, which is going to be Chris Pine.
Wait, and Anchorman. Anchorman's coming out.
Anchorman, it's not really a geek movie, but...
I just figured I'd mention it because it's a good movie.
It is a good movie. All right, so yeah, those are movies coming out this year. I know we went through a lot of them, but you can Google them and you know look them up again if you want. We're gonna go ahead and we're gonna end the show. It's been great.
Deal.
If you want to send us mail, you can send it to mg@selu.edu and we'll both get it. You can I think we have a Facebook page up. You can Google or Facebook EXPTS. And it will come up. You'll see like Mario stuff.
Yeah.
And join that. We post a lot of stuff on that. We have events and it's really cool. But we're gonna go ahead and we're gonna end it here. You have anything to say, Will?
Hello world.
Hello. Hello everyone. I hope you're happy.
We are.
We're gonna play Next My Generation by Analog, and then if we have some time, we're gonna play Oki Robo Navigation System, brah.
Sweet.
I am MG.
And I am Will, and this has been very fun, and this is Southeastern Zone 90.9 KSLU and Experience Points.